Are you glad you came to church today? Yeah. Amen. 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 You know, you've heard two stories and seen them by way of video, and two lives that were changed by the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. And I need to say that he's alive, and he is well today. He's alive. Now, neither story was about agendas, politics, or even religion. It was simply two different people in two different circumstances who were in trouble, and they cried out to God for help. And he answered each one in different ways. And I want to tell another story this morning very briefly, and this one is from the pages of Scripture. It's about a resurrection, but it's not the resurrection of Christ, but of an incredible miracle that he performed. Because as we're going to find, Jesus is life. And this is one of my favorite stories. There's a lot in this story. There's drama. There's emotion. There's this amazing cast of characters. And greatest of all, there is real hope. And the story is from the book of John in the New Testament, chapter 11. And the story begins with Jesus being with his disciples. They're about a four-day journey from where our story is going to take place. And he hears that a friend of his, Lazarus, is sick. Now, Jesus is also friends with the sisters of Lazarus, which are Mary and Martha. Many of you are familiar with them. And when the disciples of Jesus tell him that Lazarus is sick, Jesus then says in John 11:4, he says this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And he then waits two more days before he leaves to go to his friend Lazarus, and he knows exactly what he's going to do. He stayed behind on purpose. Now, his disciples, they didn't want him to go at all. It was very dangerous for Jesus to go back there, they say, because they just tried to stone Jesus. Now, truth be told, it was also very dangerous for the disciples because they were with him and they didn't want to go back there. It was very volatile. And Jesus felt they were to go. So he and his disciples, they made their way to Bethany, which is near Jerusalem, just a couple miles away. And after the long journey, they find that Lazarus is already laid in the tomb, dead. And he's been in there for 4 days. Now Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, they're there. And they both, at separate times, they go to Jesus and they're weeping and they're lamenting the fact that Jesus wasn't there before their brother died. And at one point, Jesus says to one of the sisters, Martha, in verse 25, he says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And basically, Jesus is saying, where there is life, where there is resurrection from death to life, it's because of me. Because he's the author of life. He then proceeds to where Lazarus is laid in the tomb, and there's a stone laid in front of the tomb. I love the scene. And Jesus says to take away the stone. And Martha says that there's going to be a bad odor because he's been in there for 4 days. Now, you might think, well, didn't they think Jesus could do this? Well, would you? I don't know about you, but I've never seen anybody raised from the dead in my life. I have heard a few missionary stories of that type, but I've never seen that. Now, they had seen Jesus do many things, but my goodness, someone's been in that tomb dead for 4 days. And Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And we're going to read from verse 41. It says, so they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. All right, can you imagine what it might have been like to have been there and witnessed this? I'm sure all of us would have been speechless. I don't know what you would say to something like that. What could you say? You just saw somebody raised from the dead, and the person who had something to do with it predicted it and prayed in a loud voice for all to hear and said, remove the stone. Here he comes, and he comes out. Wow. Wow. I mean, who is this guy, you would be saying? I've seen Jesus do amazing things, but who does this? Only God can do things like this. How else could he have done it? But you know, there's a deceiver, there's a liar by the name of Satan who will try to make what is right and good look like evil, and what is evil and wrong look like good. And the Bible says he is the father of lies. And for some of the people watching, they didn't react the way that I had just mentioned. They actually ran and told the Pharisees, the religious leaders who were against Jesus. They told them what he had done. Not because, oh, isn't this great? But they're like telling on him, like, hey, he's doing all these things. And in verse 47, it says, so the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. And they ignore the fact that Jesus did this amazing, wonderful thing. And it could only be interpreted as good. He raised a good man from the grave. But they're blind to the truth, and they see this as a reason to fear the Romans. And so we see it everywhere in our world today. The truth is twisted to say something that's a lie. And lies are twisted to sound like it's a good thing. We see it every day. I could mention all kinds of things that you're familiar with. And the father of lies, Satan, he also lied to our friends that we saw today, Kelly and Scotty. Is he trying to lie to you today? What can we learn about Jesus from this story? Well, there's four very simple but powerful things. And the first one is that Jesus is life. Jesus is life. And John 11:25 says, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. We read that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We can live because he lives. And we're going to sing about that in a minute. We live because he lives. And if he's raised from the dead, we can be raised from the dead. Do you need life? Do you need hope? Do you feel shame? We saw that in the videos. Do you feel pain? Come to Jesus, because Jesus is life. The second thing is that Jesus is the Son of God. John 11:27, it says, she said to him, this was Martha, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And she was speaking truth. So what does it mean? I mean that Jesus Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. When I was a Catholic, as many of you know, I learned the sign of the cross. So it was Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I learned from a young age that there are three in one. It's a mystery that there's the Father, there's the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we find that Jesus is the Son of God. And John 10:27 says this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now, what does this do for you? It means that you can have relationship with God. Jesus is saying, it's as a sheep is to the shepherd. The shepherd cares for the sheep and protects them. And this is what Jesus is saying about you. No one can snatch you out of his hand. Okay? Jesus is the Son of God. And the third thing is that Jesus is the light. We find this as a major theme in the book of John. And in verse 9 it says, "Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble." Makes sense? "Because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." All right, so once in a while I'll stumble in the daytime, but usually not. Sometimes at night I have made some terrible mistakes going from my bed to the bathroom. I don't know if anybody's ever done that before, but it happens in the dark. But Jesus was saying that he walks in the light, which is the holiness, the leading of the Spirit of God. If someone walks in their own way and not in the light of Christ, he stumbles because he can't see the right way to go. Now, our video testimonies, Kelly and Scotty, both walked in darkness, and they stumbled badly, both of them, and they couldn't see the way to go. And Jesus showed them the light, and their lives changed. They began to make right decisions because Jesus showed them the right way to go. And I just need to tell you, if you don't know the right way to go, it's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. And if you've never known Jesus in your life, he's the one, not anybody else in your life. People can have good influence, but Jesus will be the one that opens your eyes. And all of a sudden you're like, how could I have never seen this before? It's because Jesus has to open your eyes. Jesus is the light. And the last one is that Jesus loves people, which means he loves you. John 11:35 says that before he raised Lazarus, Jesus saw all the people around. They were doubting him. They were saying all kinds of things. They were all confused. They were like, what's this guy doing? What's he saying? The entire scene before him. And in John 11:35, a famous portion of scripture is two words. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He wept. Now, Jesus knew what he was going to do with Lazarus. His friend had died, but he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He wasn't crying over Lazarus. He wept because of unbelief by the people in attendance. And he wept for the pain, sorrow, and grief that sin and death bring. Why did he cry about this? Because he loves mankind. And that means he loves you right where you are. He wept over us. Now, you've witnessed two great stories of the love of Christ, Kelly and Scotty. Lives that had no hope, yet they were changed by the love of Jesus and by the love of Jesus through people. And if I could get the worship team to come back up, we're going to do our final song. They walked in darkness. Then they found the light of life in Jesus Christ, and they began to be able to see the way to go. We read a story in the Bible about people who didn't know what to do. It was Mary and Martha. They didn't know what to do. Their brother was very, very sick. They cried out for Jesus. He gets there, what they think is too late. But Jesus had something else in mind. So we celebrate the resurrection today. Not the resurrection of Lazarus that I've shared, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who raised Lazarus and others from the dead. When Jesus shared the Passover with his disciples, which was shortly after this time, knowing that he was about to give his life in a few days, he used a cup of wine to signify something that they were to remember in the days to come. And in Matthew 26:28, it says, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." We often use this portion of scripture when we take communion. We're not going to do that this morning. But after Jesus was crucified on the cross, and he was as dead as Lazarus was, another resurrection took place. And this time it was so that we might have life and live again, and might have forgiveness for our sins. And I'm going to read the account, verses 1 through 5 of Luke 24. It says, "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen.' Do you need hope? Do you need forgiveness? Do you want to live in the light? Do you want to know which way to go so you don't make decisions that will ruin your life and others around you? Do you want to live forever in heaven? You can get all of this in one person, and that is Jesus Christ." Everybody who knows this, say amen. 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 Now, before we sing this last song, I need to ask this question. And if you could bring up the lights on the congregation today just a little bit, that'd be great, just so that I can see. I would like everybody to bow their heads, and I'm going to ask for a raise of hands when I count to three here in a moment. And if you came into this place and you need help, but you don't know which way to turn, but you maybe found some hope today in Jesus. There may be some other things that happened to you this morning that you like. People were friendly to you. But today, you would like to accept Jesus Christ into your life. And it's as simple as asking him, because he's already paid the price at the cross. He's risen from the dead, which is what we celebrate today. And that means you only have to say yes and ask him to forgive you of your sins. So if that's you and you'd like me just to pray for you here, I'm not going to embarrass you and call you out or anything like that, but I would just like you to raise your hand so that you and God have a time here. So on the count of three, raise your hand if that's you. 1, 2, 3. Amen. 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 I'm going to wait a few more moments. Okay. Okay. We're going to pray for these. There's been a few here that have raised their hands, so we're going to pray for them. But if you raised your hand today, or even if you didn't raise your hand and you are sensing that you would like to pray this prayer, then do so. So if you just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I recognize my need for you. I ask you to forgive me. I've made mistakes. I want to know you. And I ask you into my life. Because I want to change. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you meant that prayer, you're a child of the King. It's as simple as that. Yeah. Amen. 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 Let's stand up for one final song. It's one of my favorites. This is all about walking from that grave. Yeah.